And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Hello and welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga and Anna Dua with you, producer Bob Bender. Week 22, mailbag edition of the show, the fantasy playoffs. I tell you, Anna, right off the bat on Monday, one of my opponents in the playoffs gets 14 points, and it's curtains for yours truly. What's up with you?
My fantasy team's not doing well. The injury bug hitting the NHL really hard right now. Nick, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. But, I mean, I don't even know how we're going to start off this episode right now. So much is up in the air. This has been a tough March for a lot of different teams in the league.
Oh, so many players are banged up. First and foremost, let me just say, just because Svechnikov is done does not mean the Carolina Hurricanes are done. In fact, I think it's a perfect time to jump on a futures look on the Carolina Hurricanes. I just can't believe how many people, considering that system, considering that coach, have just called it with that team, Anna.
I love the Carolina Hurricanes. This is shocker to literally none. But for me, Svechnikov's a really, really big loss to this team, not in terms of production. Like you mentioned, this team like kind of spreads their production across their offense. None of their guys are leading in any category, but a lot of them are doing really well. Sebastian Aho, Nate is having a great year. Kotkaniemi is kind of finding his own as of late, but Svechnikov brings things to this team, just going out there on the ice, being that physical presence, creating those plays, opening up room for his teammates to do other things, that he's a really, really big loss for this Carolina Hurricanes club.
Plus 950 is the number I'm seeing right now for the Stanley Cup for the Carolina Hurricanes. I might dabble into that, you know, because I think they're obviously going to be the underdog in some of these respective series. If they take on the Rangers, they take on the New Jersey Devils, and that's a well-coached team. So folks, never forget that. The new top six, I guess, Puljujärvi, Aho, Jarvis, Teravainen, Kotkaniemi, Natchez. So those are your internal options, I guess, in Puljujärvi. Jesse Puljujärvi in fantasy hockey, he's nothing more than a DFS play right now, right?
Absolutely. I'm waiting to see how he fits in with this team. I like that he's playing with Sebastian Aho. I know they had some chemistry going back in the World Juniors on that same team, Finland, but it's just not the same. Like, they're going to have to like figure out a new lineup. They're going to have to figure out how these guys play with each other. Puljujärvi is that player that he always teases you with his potential, but then he eventually ends up disappointing a lot. So I don't really think I'd be leaning in his direction. I've said this before on the podcast as well. I'd still be more leaning towards Teravainen if you want to pick someone up internally who just knows the system better and has played under that coach for far longer and has gone on hot flashes before, but it's tough. This is a big loss. I obviously had Svechnikov on my fantasy team, so I'm still reeling a little bit. Mourning. I'm in mourning period for this week. I'm going to have to take some personal days off from the office, guys.
I don't blame you, honestly, because like I think you look at the body of work, you look at the season Svechnikov has put together. I know a lot of people, I'm not the only one. I know Pete Jensen's not the only one who was really, really high on Carolina, you as well, going into this season, potentially winning the Stanley Cup. You lose Max Pacioretty. Granted, he played a handful of games and was an addition in the offseason. But to lose Svechnikov, just the intangibles he brings, he knows the system. He's been on that team for a long period of time, and he's gelled with some of the players there in the top six. That's monumental, because my takeaway for Carolina in the Stanley Cup playoffs the last couple of years, the power play has been dreadful when it matters most, and they can't seem to score that big-time goal. So now I wonder who those goals are going to come from when you lose Pacioretty, when you lose Svechnikov. But again, it's an incumbent on some of these younger players, right? Jarvis, Puljujärvi, Teravainen, Kotkaniemi's, to your point, has played much better. Martin Natchez has to take a bigger role now. Like, I'm just so fascinated with this team moving forward. Because weirdly enough, I still believe in them, Anna.
First of all, I'm a little bit offended that you go Pete Jensen and you also like the Carolina Hurricanes this season. I talk about them like so much on this podcast. Yeah. It's rivaling Dawson Mercer to the amount I talk about the Carolina Hurricanes on this podcast, Nick. But I had them winning the Stanley Cup before the season started. Unfortunately, I had Andrei Svechnikov as my Conn Smythe winner in that run, which is clearly not going to happen. But I'll give it to you. I think they have a lot of pieces. I said that they're a team where, especially in fantasy, they have so many options all across the lineup. I think their blue line, we haven't even mentioned that yet, right? They're going to have to take another step up. But they have a lot of producers who can produce on their defense, too. Brent Burns, I really like Shane Gostisbehere joining this club. He changed changed the power play almost instantaneously when he came over. So maybe he'll keep on alleviating some of those power play concerns that this team has had into the postseason down the stretch of the regular season. So those are some good options as well. Their goaltending situation is kind of fluid. I'm kind of a little bit worried in that aspect too, if Frederik Andersen can really hold down the fort in a future sense, but I want to be right. I want them to make it all the way. I think it's a decent chance. I'm not saying they're down and out at this point, but it's just, he's one of those players on the Hurricanes that no one else quite plays like him. And yeah, that's what I'm really, really worried about, because no one's going to be able to be the next man up and fill his role. Definitely not Puljujarvi. He's not going to be able to do what Svechnikov does on a nightly basis. So it's a big loss for this club, just in terms of how much room he creates on the ice for other guys to do their things. Like Sebastian Aho, great playmaker. He's gotten a lot of goals this season. He went on a pretty solid goal streak. Nature's having a breakout year, but a lot of those opportunities comes from Svechnikov being able to be that physical player and create that space for his teammates. So I'm excited to see what they do. If there's anyone who can carry this team for our, it's Rod Brind'Amour. So maybe they still make it happen, but it's tough.
In hindsight, maybe they didn't do enough at the trade deadline. And my apologies, I didn't realize across the board, you, me, and Pete all went with the Carolina Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup. Let's not forget, they were the sexy pick. I think a lot of people think they're ready to take that next step in the Stanley Cup playoffs. All we're saying is don't sleep on Carolina. Meantime, another costly injury, Anna, for the Colorado Avalanche, who continue to truck right along, still making room and you know, ends meet in the Western Conference. Last I looked, plus 700 to win the Stanley Cup, but 4 to 6 weeks with a broken finger for Arturi Lehkonen. And I tell you, like, outside of Nichushkin and obviously Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen, there's not much doing in that top six, top nine with the Colorado Avalanche. What's your level of concern the Avalanche can get back to the defending cup champion mode here?
Do we like curse them, Nick? Because we vividly had a question about whether we would have Laine or Lehkonen. And I remember we were so high on Lehkonen, singing all of his praises. The boy goes out almost immediately. I was like, oh, that might be our fault. But yeah, Pete's way higher on the Colorado Avalanche than I was. So were you. I was a little bit down and out on them towards the end of last year, heading into this calendar year. And it's just tough because they have like the top end talent in Nathan MacKinnon and some of these guys, Mikko Rantanen having a very underrated season. He's like way up there among league leaders. I feel like we don't talk about him in that category a lot so far this year, but it's like you got like the best of the best and then everyone else is just like falling flat. So there's like no depth on this team. It's going to take one more injury to completely knock them out of winning like any games, to be honest, at this point. So I don't think they have the depth right now to be able to make it all the way, specifically considering the way Edmonton is playing as of now. I think Edmonton's the team that I'm watching that's going to be the most dangerous when we head into the postseason out west. And the Los Angeles Kings.
Ooh,
the Los Angeles Kings. I was going to ask you right now, based off of the way we're slated and the teams that are currently in postseason position, who you would have as a dark horse favorite to win the Stanley Cup. I saw this question circulating, and the Los Angeles Kings, I've seen a lot of people hype them up recently, and rightfully so. That might be my answer.
Yeah, I saw it circulating too. I think Los Angeles has to be in that conversation. I would have said Minnesota a week ago if Kaprizov wasn't going to be dinged up going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, certainly, but you can't help but take notice at what Los Angeles is putting forth, namely in between the pipes. And again, we talked about this on Monday's episode. Yunus Korpisalo, Phoenix Copley have been locked in. But to me, that's the major takeaway defensively. Like, I was looking at the standings. There's a pretty good probability we might get LA and Edmonton in the first round, like another clash, right? And that's the amazing thing with the Oilers. We know they can score goals. We know they picked up Ekholm. But how do they, you know, match up with teams who are defensive minded? I think LA would be in that conversation for sure, especially here in the second half. How are they going to play when it matters most and things tighten up in the Stanley Cup playoffs? I really, really like what the Los Angeles Kings are doing right now.
Yeah, I think they addressed the biggest concern that I had, obviously. I really like Korpisalo. I'm excited to see him in the postseason for an actual contending team this year. So that's going to be fun to watch. It's tough because obviously in the East specifically and in the West now too, if that ends up being the matchup, you're going to lose one really, really solid team after the first round of the playoffs. And it's the path is going to determine a lot this season. I've been saying that before, like the path and the standings at the end of the regular season are really going to alter how I'm feeling about the futures of certain teams, just because some first round matchups might be the only thing stopping a team from reaching the Stanley Cup final, to be honest, which is crazy that if they didn't play a specific team in the first round, they could go all the way.
Yeah. And I think there's more of a pathway in general in the Western Conference than there is the Eastern Conference. Just so many good teams in the West. You're starting to see these teams sort of flex their muscles. Just to tie things up on the Svechnikov and Lehkonen injury, some external pickups: Jared McCann, Jason Zucker has 10 goals in his past 12. Alex Killorn's been on fire his last 8 games, 6 goals, 9 points, conveniently enough, in a contract year for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think when you look at Lehkonen specifically, Rodriguez, McKinnon, Rantanen, what they're doing on the top line right now, I think maybe Dennis Malgin could move up to play with Compher and Achushkin. Like, there's a bit of value. Eller, Newhook, or other guys I would look at right now with the Colorado Avalanche. They're scoring goals like crazy. Last I looked, 63 goals in the last 17 games. And I think the fortunate part for Lehkonen, he got his video tribute and he got 2-1 against the Montreal Canadiens before he went down. But a tough loss for Colorado, because you look back at last year's cup run, he was monumental to that drive and to that run for the Colorado Avalanche. So we referenced earlier this week, Thomas Chabot gets banged up. I would just drop him, right? Like, start there. You drop him, you move on right now, right?
There's a lot of other options at this point. Yeah. I've said this before. I feel like every single year in fantasy, there's like, it's the year of a specific position. I think last year was the year of goaltenders. We had so many goalies having breakout seasons. There were so many options across the board of who to pick up. And this year, it's definitely the year of defensemen. Like, we're seeing so many blue liners take the next step in their career. The elite ones who are in the Norris conversation right now, all of those guys, most of them, we didn't expect to end up in that position at the start of the season. And even after the trade deadline, we talked about Sandin fitting in with the Washington Capitals and all of these other blue liners moving to new teams. I mentioned Gostisbehere earlier in this episode, and there's just so many options all across the board. If you're holding onto Chabot at this point, there's really no reason to, right, Nick?
Yep, agreed. So jump out on that front. Chychrun moves up to PP1. By the way, Ottawa's done. We talked about this on last week's show. Jake Sanderson, look out for him in the final couple games of the season. Externally, to your point, Rasmus Sandin, now 9 points in 5 games, a member of the Washington Capitals. Pick him up. Must add right now. Evan Bouchard has 6 points in his last 5. And Juuso Välimäki, such a sleeper, right? He's the number one guy in the power play right now in Arizona. They've been so impressive to me, but he's got 8 assists in his past 8 games. So to your point, there's a lot of like defensemen that I would look at ahead of Thomas Chabot. He's just been such a massive disappointment. Which leads me to this question. You know, I was curious doing some tabulations and putting some stuff together for this podcast. Miro Heiskanen, we've been talking about this file and this name for like many years now. It seems like the last 15 years. Has he finally arrived, Anna, is my question. An 8-game point streak, 3 goals, 11 assists, 14 points. Now 65 games on the season, 10 goals, 56 points. He prorate that over 82. That's 13 goals and 71 points. Is he creeping into a territory where he's like a top 5 fantasy defenseman next season?
Maybe. He's definitely in the conversation. I don't know if he's going to end up there. For me, it's always consistency issues with him because he has a very high ceiling, and he'll go on these hot streaks, and then all of a sudden I won't hear anything about him for a while. I like where he's playing in the lineup. I really like him being point on that top power play unit for the Stars right now. I believe 6 of those 14 points, I think, came on the man advantage, so it's nice to see him getting some production up there. This Dallas team also, I feel like we don't talk about them that much in terms of futures when they have to be in that conversation because of Heiskanen, but also all the other valuable players they have in their lineup and the trade deadline additions they had to this squad as well. He's playing on a very, very solid team, like top to bottom. The Stars team is scary. I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs.
It's funny you say that, because we got a tweet in actually from a super fan of this podcast. Her name is Anna Noel Dua on Twitter. Fun fact, Wyatt Johnston was not born when 50 Cent dropped in the club. He now has 18 NHL goals. And I want to talk about Wyatt Johnston because he's been a revelation this season and only 4% owned right now in fantasy leagues.
He's doing great. The kid's 19. Isn't that crazy? I like looked up when that song came out, and it was January 2003. Wyatt Johnston, born in May 2003, which is just like ridiculous. Oh my God. He's about to have more goals than how old he is this season. Just give him like a couple more games. But he's been playing so, so well right now. He's centering their second line. I like who he's playing with. He's like 3 goals, 4 games, getting goals every single night. He played really well with Heiskanen last night. Speaking of the two, they had a really good play to set Johnston up for that goal that I tweeted about. So yeah, I feel like we're overlooking him. Seriously, he's in the top 6 on this Dallas Stars team, and he's barely rostered. He's like the next Jared McCann.
I like it. I like the comparison. Take a flyer for sure. Ben Johnston and Dadonov is that second line right now for Dallas. In the last 10 games, 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points for Wyatt Johnston. So a sneaky look there. Which leads me to this question. Let's play Gurianov against Dadonov, right? Because that was like an under-the-radar trade at the trade deadline. You look at it at Dadonov, he's been a seamless fit on that second line as referenced. Nine games, 3 goals, 8 points with Dallas, playing with Ben and Johnston on PP2. And Denis Gurianov, I think we sort of expected this, a former first-round pick, but his last 5 games, 3 goals, 1 assist. Who would you prefer rest of season purposes?
For me, it's Dadonov. I just think it's based off of what team he's on and who he's playing with at the moment. It's a no-brainer for me. They're just setting him up for success, and he's turned on his game. He's a player that I've liked in the past, regardless of where he's played, and I feel like Dallas was just the perfect place for him to end up, the environment he needed to take this next step. So it's like 100% answer for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that front. You know, I said this when the deal went down. Dadonov plays when he wants to. Unfortunately, we saw this in his second tour of duty with the Florida Panthers. He was outstanding and pretty much has not been the same ever since. Even with the Montreal Canadiens, he showed flashes. But I actually think this guy could be an X factor, if you can believe it, for the Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You just look at the skill level and the potential and the production. Like, not to say he can be the next Alex Radulov for the Dallas Stars, but like the way he is producing shows you he still has a lot left in the tank. And again, you look at the percent rostered, Gurianov at 1%, but Dadonov just at 8%. And this time of year, it's those type of additions, right? We talked about Thomas Novak last week, scores another goal on Tuesday. You need these types of players to put you over the top in your fantasy playoffs, right?
Absolutely. And I think we can also look for a lot of value from teams that are not going to make the postseason at this point of year, because players are taking the next step. Since my Twitter is kind of running this podcast episode today, let's reference another tweet that I had last night. Nick, I wanted to get into this. What is going on with the Chicago Blackhawks? Like, what's happening? They lose Patrick Kane and they're looking like they're going to win another Stanley Cup the way they've been playing as of late. They beat Boston, the biggest shocker. No one had that on their bingo card. And there's a lot of players on that team. Taylor Radish, Tyler Johnson. They're getting like point per game paces right now. What's going on
is we need a betting summit in the NHL. The Hawks over the Bees, Montreal over Pittsburgh, Arizona over Calgary. Like, what is happening right now? Like, it really is crazy. It just never makes sense, and it just shows you the parity in this league, that anybody on any night can beat any team, right? You look at that Hawks roster, you look at that Boston roster, no way in hell should it even be a close game. So I think you got to respect that Hawks team first and foremost are playing their guts out. They know they're going to finish in a position to potentially get the best player in junior hockey right now in Connor Bedard. But it just shows you the parity. Like, that's probably the only answer I can give you, is that the Hawks are just playing really, really strong. And the other thing I would add too, like, let's not forget, well, we've all buried Chicago and know that they've lost all their guys. Like, Taves is finished and, you know, Patty Kane's gone, Max Domi's gone. A lot of guys are playing for jobs for the future, not only next season, but like a contract extension too. So I would never overlook that aspect either.
Yeah, specifically Taylor Radish is one I wanted to talk about. Like, 6 goals in 4 games. Like, is this a guy you're going to pick up? He's probably readily available in almost every league across the board. And I feel like he's worth taking a flyer on at this point because he's scoring almost every night.
I think from a daily stream point of view, heck yeah. I think you look at what Chicago's put forth the last little while, for sure you would take a flyer. Let's not forget the pedigree is there with the player. He was in the trade or last year at the deadline, Brandon Hagel going to the Tampa Bay Lightning. So like, he's got that high round pedigree, if you will. He's a Tampa product. So you just got to like think positively from that perspective. But I think as long as a player is producing, I don't care if his name's Joe Schmo or Taylor Radish, like I'm taking a flyer because, again, I want players who are going to produce for me in the fantasy playoffs and not guys who are not going to do much. Like, there's a lot of players out there who have been, you know, guys who are mainstays on your roster, just not doing, very much right now, Anna.
Yeah, and I feel like Arizona is another one of those teams where we're seeing so many of these guys that I'm absolutely taking a flyer on, despite the fact that they're on the Arizona Coyotes. I know we mentioned Barrett Hayton last time, and I think he's still worth picking up, to be honest. 3 goals, 7 assists, 10 points in his last 5 games. Matthias Michelli is back in the conversation as well. Yeah. He has 7 points in 6 games, and I remember he was kind of like sneaking up there among rookies earlier this season, then kind of fell off the board. Arizona is also doing weirdly well. Anaheim, like, right now it seems like all of the teams that we were like expecting to do so well down the stretch, Minnesota, Carolina, all these big boys are just getting riddled with injuries, bad luck. They're losing some big games. And then these teams like Arizona and Chicago and Anaheim are creating a lot of point streaks among a lot of guys we weren't expecting.
Yeah, make no mistake about it. I'm not making excuses for the Calgary Flames. You're done. See you later. But it leads me to a question, and you talk about Arizona, another super fan of this podcast. Crazy how many are piping up today. But at AirChecked on social media, wherever you want to check them out, give me some love for Clayton Keller. Like, and he's so right, right? Like, you look at the body of work of Keller, he's notched at least a point at six straight, 12 of 13. I think it's specifically the team he plays for, and he's not getting the love and the publicity, but he's played 68 games, 71 points, 31 goals. I think it's time to put respect on that name. He's been unbelievable. And right now, I think I looked, he was 45th ranked in standard leagues. Like, he's a top 50 file going into next season. And considering the value some fantasy owners got in this player is pretty tremendous. So I wanted to give some love for Clayton Keller today.
Rightfully so. He deserves it. It's tough. You see, like, these guys who are truly, truly very talented hockey players just be on teams where they don't get the credit. And Clayton Keller is one of those guys. He's routinely a point per game player across his NHL career, to be honest. He had like 63 and 67 games last season. He's just always fluttering around that mark. And he has very high upside. 30 goal scorer. He's just a talented hockey player. He's just on a tough Arizona club where sometimes we forget about him because there's so many other big name hotshot teams right now, especially this season, right? How many teams can you list that are genuine Stanley Cup contenders? I feel like this is the most we've seen in so long. So we forget about Arizona, but I agree. Whoever tweeted out that Clayton Keller deserves some respect on his name, that's a valid take.
At Airchecked, again, where that tweet originated from. Some other injuries to monitor moving forward. Zach Hyman didn't play on Tuesday night for Edmonton, undisclosed. Steven Stamkos' lower body injury. Again, back to the betting. Like, Tampa plays New Jersey three times this week. They played once already. Stamkos doesn't play in that game. But Vasilevskiy's Vasilevskiy, right? Like, we've talked about this in abundance over the last month, that people are just so quick to rule out Tampa this time of year every year. They're just going to step up. Like, I'm still feeling this Lightning team, Anna.
Your love-hate relationship with Vasilevskiy is, like, carrying me this season. Because you'll say stuff like this, and then, like, 3 weeks ago, you'll be like, he's ruined my fantasy team. Like, well, as a Vasilevskiy owner, like, I'm depressed. So it just changes every single day, Nick. I can't track how you feel about him. And you say these statements with full confidence as if this is how you felt the entire season. Like, Vasilevsky's Vasilevskiy. Give it, like, a week, guys. When we film our next episode next week, Nick's going to be like, I hate Andrei Vasilevskiy. He's the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
No, I've stayed consistent with it. Unfortunately, I'm going to lose in that league that I have Vasilevskiy. And unfortunately, I didn't play him last night because I had unique faith in Jacob Markstrom to beat Arizona. And he lets four goals in. They called one back. It should have been five. I'm so done with Calgary in general. But yeah, I've got all the love in the world for Vasilevskiy. He's the top goalie on the planet. I even made this case last year where Rangers fans were trying to tell me Igor Shesterkin was the number one goaltender on the planet. No, it's Vasilevskiy, then everyone else. I still feel that way. Since we're on the conversation of the playoff races in the Western Conference, so Nashville now sneaks ahead of Calgary, another victory for them. It really has been an impeccable storyline when you consider that deadline for teams like Washington and Nashville to still be sniffing around the playoff conversation, I think is pretty epic to me.
It is. I don't think they're going to make it. I'm not going to lie to you. I respect the hustle. I think they're going to be happy being the first one out. They're putting in a little bit of effort down the stretch. I think Winnipeg getting those injury returns back soon. I saw that PLD is probably going to return as early as tomorrow. So that's good news for the Winnipeg Jets. Getting some of these guys back, they have way more big name players that just need to turn on their game. That's their biggest issue right now. So I think Winnipeg probably ends up sitting pretty and making it into the playoffs. But you got to respect what Nashville's doing right now.
And again, we wait to see what happens here with Connor Hellebuck, right? Like, it's been a struggle for him. They gave him a rest night, David Rittich against Carolina on Tuesday. But to me, that's everything for Winnipeg. If they can't get Hellebuck right, I don't care what happens. Not to mention Josh Morrissey didn't play on Tuesday either.
Big save, Dave, making a return to the crease. But yeah, Hellebuck actually in our goalie rankings dropped about 10 spots from where he was. So that's just, it's just tough for him. It's so crazy, right? We were literally talking about him being the Vezina conversation. At some point it was Ullmark and Hellebuck as like the two front runners for that trophy. And now it's just like a disaster stretch for Hellebuck right now. He might be the biggest nail in the coffin of the Winnipeg Jets' hope this season.
It's such a fickle position. And just to add to Jonathan Quick, another victory with the Vegas Golden Knights. So all you people who buried him when he was dealt to that team, congratulations, you nailed that. Eunice Korpisalo wins again with the Los Angeles Kings, which leads me to who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week. It's time for the delivery of the week brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have, Anna?
I'm going with your boy, Tommy Novak of the Nashville Predators. Three-game goal streak for him right now. He has four goals in that span. He has seven shots on goal across his last two games. He's just heating up right now.
I'm going to go with Miro Heiskanen of the Dallas Stars. 8-game point streak, 3 goals, 11 assists, 14 points. You prorate that over 82 games. He's on pace for 71 points this season, 3 goals away from a career high in goals, already there in assists and points. Miro Heiskanen, you're an absolute stud. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
I think at this point, too, speaking of deliveries of the week and defensemen, Rasmus Sandin, I got to bring it back to him. He was right on the edge. He just like seems to be my delivery of the week after week right now, Nick. Is Toronto regretting their decision? Where is Erik Gustafsson, by the way?
He's in the press box eating that unbelievable popcorn. I was at Scotiabank Arena on Saturday. That popcorn is tremendous, and that's where Gustafsson's probably going to stay. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's too early to make that determination, but you love to see new players fitting in with new teams and just the Capitals in general moving forward. They were sellers at the deadline. I'm looking forward to seeing how they finish this season and what this means in general for the Alex Ovechkin era, right? He's been a pillar of fantasy hockey success for like 15 years now, it seems.
I just want to throw out there that Washington, even though they're fifth right now in the wildcard race, are only 4 points behind the New York Islanders. I feel like it's worth mentioning, right? Are they down and out? Is there a chance?
I don't know. We've been asking the question about Buffalo, and then they come back into the conversation. In this 3-point league, I will just leave it at this. It's just so hard to make up ground in a 3-point league.
Speaking of Buffalo, I saw that you said you want Mr. Alex Tuch to be the captain of the Buffalo Sabres next season. And I want to ask you, how high are we drafting Alex Tuch after the year he's had? He returns, he's playing just the way he played before he went out. Buffalo's a young, hot team. Next season's they're going to be dangerous throughout the entire season next season with the squad that they have. Where are you taking Alex Tuch? How high is he going?
So I haven't done my rankings yet, my top 250 that I put together in the offseason just yet. Off the top of my head, I would say around the 65 to 75 range. I think there are other players, other options ahead. Not the forecast ahead either. Like, I expect a bit of turbulence from Buffalo next season. They're the nice shiny toy this year. They've been great. But once you start being the hunted as opposed to the hunter, how do you react? Ditto for Tage Thompson. But obviously you can't help but love what Alex Tuch has done for that team. I put out the numbers. I think 102 points as we have this conversation in 108 regular season games, a member of the Buffalo Sabres. And I do think it's going to happen, by the way, the captaincy. Kyle Pozo's contract is up. I think Alex Tuch, his significance to that market is from nearby Rochester, I believe. Like, everything makes sense for him to be that captain. And I think it would be the cherry on top to the Eichel trade, wouldn't it?
It would. And the Buffalo Sabres, they always defy expectations. Yeah. After Tage Thompson's ridiculous season last season, everyone was like, it's a fluke. They're going to hit some turbulence next year. And Tage Thompson comes out and is one of the best players in the NHL all of a sudden. So maybe the Sabres keep it going.
I know this is fantasy, but when's the last time the Buffalo Sabres made the Stanley Cup playoffs? Were you alive?
Probably not, to be honest. probably not, but maybe the time has finally come. Some streaks are bound to come to an end right now. What's going to happen? The Sabres make the playoffs first or the Leafs win around?
Ooh, I'd probably say Buffalo makes the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you can bet on all this stuff and listen to NHL Puckline. How about that for a promo? NHL Puckline is a new show with our friends Lauren Jabara and Todd Furman. Every Tuesday and Thursday on the NHL YouTube channel, go check it out. I hope they're hunting the dogs here, Anna, because all the underdog teams seem to be winning as of late.
You gotta bet the underdog. If there's a sport to ever do it, it's hockey. Hockey's the one where whenever the odds are really, really, really stacked against a team, that's when you're taking that team.
And college basketball, don't forget about that. So we'll leave it at that. We'll be back next week for Anna Dew and producer Bob Bender. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Talk next week.